Welcome. I'm Jamie, the pastor of Anchor Bible Church in Lincoln City. Today we're going to look at Satan's sinfulness, that he is a sinner, although he was not created a sinner, but yet he became a sinner on his own volition, his own will. And we're going to break this into two sections. You should have verses 1 through 20 along with this. And then we're going to look at the first half in this session and the second half in the second session. But first of all, Satan repudiates God and desires to be like God. Repudiate means to reject, to refuse, to cast away. So Satan has refused and rejected God's authority over him, although God is still in authority over him. He can't get away from that. God is still God. God is still infinite in all of his wonderfulness, and there's no one like God. But Satan wants to be that way. Satan was created a beautiful angel, and through his sin, he fell and became Lucifer, or he was Lucifer, and Lucifer became Satan, I should say. So we're going to first look at the first passage here, Isaiah chapter 14, 12 through 14. And that's where the Lord records Satan's downfall in this section. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend to heaven. Notice these I wills. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Stars would be a reference to the angels. He wants to be have his throne like God's above the angels. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will, there's another one, ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. So this is Satan's pride. He wanted to be like God. He wanted to be as God, but he can't. He's a created being, as wonderful as he was created, as beautiful and sinless as he's created, he sinned in his heart. And so we see that he fell and he wanted to be like God. But this is how he repudiates God. He repudiates God. So he wants to be above the angels, above the stars. We're also going to look at Numbers 9 and 10, a little bit out of order here, since we're in the Isaiah passage. Isaiah 12, he weakens the nations. He weakens the nations, it says here, which did weaken the nations. So how does Satan weaken a nation? Well, you look at, well, how is a nation strong? A nation is strong when it's united. Well, if he can divide a nation, then it will fall. A divided nation cannot stand. A divided house cannot stand. Also, a nation has one language. Not that you can't have people speaking many languages within that one nation. And that is certainly a blessing. But yet, if people don't all speak at least the same language for basic things and getting along with one another, then that's a division. That's a faction. All using the same money or currency that's based upon a sound thing. So you get away from sound money, then you get away from, you start weakening the nation. In morals, if instead of men being men and women being women and marriage being as God defines it in the Bible, you get away from those standards and you weaken the family. You weaken the children. You weaken the nations. If you get away from the Bible in education, prayer in the Bible, like we've had in our country for decades, but no longer, then you'll weaken the educational system. Entertainment, lawlessness, all sorts of things who can weaken the nations. And not only that, here in 14:16, it says something similar. It said that also that he was the one who did shake the kingdoms. And so here we see it's something similar to where kingdoms kind of shake and sometimes they topple. And so he is against the nations. He is against God's design for humankind and society. Excuse me. So here also we're going to look at Revelation 12:14. And Revelation has a lot to say about Satan. since this is the time of the Antichrist. But here we see chapter 12, verse 4, pardon me, 12:4, says, "And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth." It's talking about the dragon. And the dragon here in this context is Satan, the devil. And so he drew a third part of the stars from heaven. We saw in Isaiah the stars would be angels. And so when he fell, he took a portion, a section of the stars, of the angels with him. And so we can see that he's someone who weakens the nations. And also he's weakened the angelic realm because he's taken them, some with him. And so we can see that the other fallen angels are called devils or demons. And so those are those whom he has influenced and also caused and influenced to reject. He was an influencer and to refuse God and cast away God. Well, they're the ones that end up getting cast away from the Lord. And so he did that. And also, while we're here, we're going to combine another verse, 3 and 4. It's going to come up later on, that he stands before Israel. He stands before Israel, because here is talking about the woman Israel in this chapter. And then verse 3, Revelation 12:3, it says, "And there appeared another woman in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having seven heads and seven horns." And so this is Satan and the Antichrist working through there. But Satan, and it says that he did stand before, he stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered. So he stood before Israel. And so we'll explain that passage a little bit more in another message when we get to the book of Revelation. But here, just for now, just that he stands before, he opposes Israel. Those who hate the Jews, who hate Israel, well, Satan was the one who's done it first, and maybe has persuaded and influenced and put it at the heart of others to do that as well. So we're going now to the Gospel of John, John chapter 8:44. And so I'm turning to these verses also in Scripture, and so trust that you'll be able to find them as well. John 8:44, talking about the devil, and saying that, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there was no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." So have you ever told a lie? Well, the first one to do that was Satan. The devil did that. He's the father of lies. He's the first one to lie. And boy, did he tell big ones. And so especially to get other people to fall for his lies. The lie is something that is not the truth, anti-truth, not the truth. And so here we see that the lie would go against the truth. And Satan is great at doing that. He's a master at doing that. God tells us his truth in the Bible. And Satan is a master at changing God's words, twisting and distorting the Lord's words, maybe adding to God's words, subtracting to God's words, making it so that people don't understand God's plain meaning of what he said in Scripture. And so the devil is doing that. So he's the father of lies. Well, number 5, we have to go back to Genesis chapter 3, back to the beginning, back to Genesis chapter 3. And so that we see here, we're going to look at verses 1 through 5. Satan working through the serpent, saying, and now this is in the Garden of Eden with Eve. "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" The first words recorded in Scripture that the devil said is, it's a question doubting God's words. Yea, hath God said? Did God really say that? Did God really mean that? Are God's words really true? Well, let God be true and every man a liar. And we know that Satan is the father of lies. So here is how he doubts, puts a doubts into Eve's mind about God's words. Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. Because remember, Satan, here it says the serpent is subtle. He's sly. He's deceitful. He's artful. He's crafty. So she said, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. So we don't have a record in Scripture that he said, don't touch it. But he said, if you eat it, you're going to die the day that you eat it. Verse 4 says, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. So again, doubting, there's a direct opposition to God's very words. You're not going to die. Calling God a liar. Well, God cannot lie, the Bible tells us. So who's lying here? If the words don't line up and match up exactly, well, Satan is lying. Here he says in verse 5, for God knoweth, doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Where have we heard that before? Who wants to be like God? Satan wants to be like God, Isaiah told us. And so here he's the same lie, but probably the same lie that he told to the fallen angels. Well, we all can be like God. You can be like God. Well, you can't be like God. Because he's the only one who's infinite. He's the only one that's been around forever. He's the only one that's all-powerful, all-knowing, and present everywhere at the same time. Present everywhere. So and the rest of us are created beings. We're created as the Lord wants us to be, but yet we can sin against the Lord. We also can be rebellious and repudiate the Lord. Well, the devil did it first. And so here he says, you can be like God. Well, they knew good and evil. Yes, they started knowing, experiencing evil, but they didn't have any power over it. So he got them. And then both Adam and Eve died. And so God was right and the devil was wrong. He lied. Well, he knew that he was wrong when he was telling her that. So Job... we're going to go into Job. So it's before the Psalms there, just a little bit. So Job chapter 1. Remember, Job is recorded for ancient times, obviously, ancient times. And we see that Satan is talking with him. Job 1, 9 and 10. The Lord asks Satan a question. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for naught? Well, we see that Job is your servant and he's not cursing you, but well, he's getting paid to do that. Because he says in verse 10, Satan says, hast thou not made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands and his substance is increased in the land. He's rich. He's wealthy. He's got all these things. Of course, he knows... He knows where to get the good things and the material possessions, and he's not going to curse the one who's given him those things. Does he fear God for nothing, for naught? So here we see that he claimed that Job loved and served God for material things. Well, that's a sad thing. We should love God for who God is and serve God for who God is. If he wants to bless us with other things, that's up to him. Like the Job ended up saying, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And Job did not sin. So number 7 here, we're not going to look up all the what's happened to him. But Satan was able to have authority and control. And he brought terrible calamities on Job. And he lost his family except his wife and some servants and as many camels and other sheep and other animals that he had. His property was destroyed later on. He got boils all over his body. So Job brought these terrible calamities, or Satan brought terrible calamities upon Job. And so Job had to go through this great testing that Satan brought on. He didn't spare Job. He did everything but take his life. And so... So we're going to go on to number eight, which is that he stood up against Israel. He stood up against Israel. And so we have to go to Chronicles for that, First Chronicles. And a way for me to remember that scripture is going through it is Samuel, Kings, Chronicles. And so we get to 1 Chronicles 21. So that's the book order that we have, so we can find it a little faster. But basically, we see that 1 Chronicles 21:1 says, "And Satan stood up against Israel." He opposed Israel and provoked David to number Israel, to do a census. And once David did that, the Lord brought some judgment on him, because instead of relying upon the Lord, he was trusting in his army and his great possessions that he had and Israel's might. So Satan stood up against Israel. You see, Satan is Israel's adversary. So we could think that, well, a religion that automatically hates the Jews and wants to attack Israel and go and slaughter the Jews, well, that's Satan is probably behind that. And he's the one that's hated Israel first. And so not only with that, we're going to look up Zechariah 3:1-2. Zechariah 3:1-2. And that's there closer to the end of your Old Testament and what we call the 12. And so the 12 minor prophets. And so Zechariah 3:1-2. And so we'll turn there and see what we have to say. "And he showed me Joshua, the high priest." So Joshua, not Joshua, the military commander who took over from Moses, but here it's later on. This man is also named Joshua, but he's the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him, to resist him. So the angel of the Lord was there, and then Satan was there resisting. "And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan, even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire?" So we see Michael responding similarly to Satan in the book of Jude. We're not going to turn there now, but you can look at it later if you want, where Michael says, "The Lord rebuke thee." And so Satan let the Lord do the fighting at that point. And so he stands before the angel Lord, he stands before Israel. And that's why I looked up, you can compare Revelation 12:3-4. And that's why we looked at it earlier, where when it's talking about Israel and the child being born, which would be referring to Christ. And then Satan was right there before the woman. And then that was Israel bringing forth the Messiah, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And he was there to devour the child. So he was resisting the Lord, resisting God, resisting and fighting against Israel. So he stands up against Israel. So Satan hates Israel. Also, we looked up that he weakens the nations, and he makes the nations earth to tremble and shakes kingdoms. Both of those were in Isaiah chapter 14. So this is just a little bit about Satan's sinfulness. You could put it under Satanology, words about Satan, God's words about Satan. So no matter what people say about the devil, if it goes against these verses, then we understand that it's not of the Lord, that it might be from the devil himself, because he's the father of lies. So these are things to help us prepare and to know and to understand who Satan is, because God tells us in his word, and he actually has many things to say about that. So stay available for part 2 or session 2, and thanks for listening.